Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching entitled Hebrews Highlights was recorded at our 2008 Boston Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
We're acting as if Jesus hasn't done anything. And so we're saying, oh God, would you please send Jesus to do something? Jesus has done everything he's ever going to do, and now he's seated at the right hand of God the Father. The significance of that is he isn't working. He's not laboring. He's not reapplying his blood to you every time you mess up and having to do something. He's already done it. He's reconciled you unto God, and he's now seated until his body takes their rightful place and stands up and subdues all of the things that Jesus has conquered. Jesus has conquered death, but it's up to his body to enforce that and make it come to pass. Jesus has conquered sickness and disease, but he's not going to just go around and heal you. He's healed everybody he's ever going to heal. And he put that healing power on the inside of you. Now, are you going to stand up and take that healing power and resist the devil and see him flee from you? Or are you going to go to God like a whipped puppy and, oh God, I have no power. Would you please move in my life in total unbelief? You know, I know I'm being hard, but I'm trying to get my point across. I'm trying to let you see that this attitude that we've got is not a godly attitude. In the third chapter of the book of Acts, Peter and John walked up to the temple, and they saw a man who was lame from his mother's womb. He was 38 years old, and he had never walked, completely invalid, and he was begging. And he looked up at Peter expecting to receive something. And Peter said unto him, he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And they reached down and grabbed the man by the hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he went walking and leaping and praising God. Man, Peter said, such as I have. He never even prayed a prayer. He didn't ask God to heal this person. He'd be kicked out of most of our churches today. He didn't come and say, oh God, we come before you so humbly, and we know that we're nothing and that we can do nothing. Oh God, we're just a worm. But we know that thou canst do all things. You have done nothing, but you could do it. And we're asking you, would you stretch forth your hand and would you touch this person and would you please heal them? Oh God, we're praying. And when nothing happens, well, then you get the prayer chain going and you get 100 people putting pressure on God, or just so many people that eventually God's got to give in. We've twisted his arm so much. They didn't do any of that. They said, I don't have any money with me. That didn't mean that they were broke. It just meant they didn't bring their wallet. I don't have any money, but you know what? Such as I have, I'm going to give it to you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And they just grabbed him and lifted him up. People think, so you say that you have. Well, yeah, I got that power of God. Jesus never told us to pray for the sick. There's examples of people praying for the sick. We pray for the sick. I'm not saying it's wrong to pray for the sick, but he didn't tell you to pray for the sick. He told you to heal the sick. He gave a command, go out and heal the sick. There's a difference between praying and saying, oh God, would you please pray? See, that's an easy prayer. All of the responsibility's on God. God, it's just up to you. If it be thy will, pray, stretch forth your hand. There's a difference between that and saying, you know what? I've got the power of God in the name of Jesus. I command you to be healed. There's a difference in that kind of prayer. That's a risky prayer. Most people won't do that. Most people won't accept responsibility. Oh, God, we know that you can do something. And somebody says, so you think that it's you healing people? No, it's not me. It's God's power. But it's not out there. It's in me. He gave me power. He gave you power. He gave every born-again believer the same power that Jesus has. Jesus said in John 14, 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Every believer has the power to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and we're approaching God as if we don't have any power and asking Him for power. You know, if God could be confused, God would be confused. He says, I give you all power in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and preach the gospel. And we turn around and say, oh God, we don't have any power. Oh God, would you pour out your power? I'm sure, you know, if it wasn't God, I'm sure He'd be scratching His head saying, I know I gave them power. I know I told them that I gave them the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. What do they want? What am I supposed to do? I've already given them all power in heaven and earth, and they're asking me for more power. We say, oh God, please heal me. And He says, now I know it's in there someplace. I think it's 1 Peter 2:24 somewhere that it says, by His stripes we were healed. It put it in the past tense. If you were healed, you are healed. So why are you asking God to heal you? Because you don't believe the Word. You believe what you feel. You believe a doctor's report more than you believe what the Word says. You know, I was intending to say something totally different than this tonight. I'm going to blame this on God and say that I'm going to say that this is God trying to stir us up and let us recognize that it's up to you to draw nigh to God. God has done His part. If you don't feel bold, then it's you that's wrong. So change the way you feel. If you don't feel that God loves you, then you're wrong. Just start telling yourself and taking the Word and preaching to yourself. You know, when the Lord first showed me these things, I was still in a Baptist church, and this is not what the Baptists preach. And I was told that I was of the devil. I was kicked out of a couple of Baptist churches. I was told that God was going to judge me, that, you know, just I could go on and on. And so there was this huge conflict. I was reading the Word, and the Holy Spirit was speaking these things to me, but I didn't have a single person that agreed with what God was showing me. Except Jamie. I guess Jamie and I were in agreement. But outside of my family, I didn't have any agreement. And you know what? Because of it, I just felt like, God, how could this be true? And you know how I ministered to myself? I used to stand in front of a mirror and look at myself, eyeball to eyeball, and I'd just quote Scripture and say, you are the righteousness of God in Christ. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. You have the same power that raised Christ from the dead. I'd say it to myself. Faith comes by hearing, and since I wasn't hearing anybody else say it, I started saying it. So I started preaching to myself, and I'd preach to myself. And I remember the very first time I ever said, you are the righteousness of God. I didn't say it that way. It was more like, you are the righteousness of God? And all the hair stood up on the back of my neck, and I thought, my next thought was, God, don't strike me dead. I'm trying to operate in faith to the best of my understanding. This is what the Word says. Don't kill me for saying this. But I just keep saying it, and I'd preach to myself, and eventually I went to believing it. And you know what I was doing? I was drawing near to God. Not by begging Him to do something, but I was taking the Word and I was renewing my mind and saying, I don't care what it feels like. I don't care what I've ever been taught. This is what the Word of God says, and I'm not backing off of it. I am going to draw near. I'm going to enter into the Holy of Holies. I used to sit and see myself, imagine myself entering into the very throne room of God. And if anybody tried to get in my way, if an angel tried to stand in my way, I'd rebuke them in the name of Jesus and say that I am now have boldness to enter into the Holy of Holies by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way. And I would stand there and preach to myself, and I'd imagine and see this. You know what that is? That's drawing nigh to God. That's renewing my mind. That's changing the way that I think. It's taking responsibility for yourself. And instead of just praying a prayer, oh God, please make me closer to you. And you got 5 minutes before my favorite show comes on. And if you can transform my life before I go watch murder and lying and stealing and adultery for entertainment, have at it. And when nothing happens in 5 minutes, well, I'm seeking God and I'm waiting on God, but I just am not getting there. What's wrong? How dumb can you get and still breathe? That's not drawing nigh to God. That's not putting much effort into it. Man, we're going to have to get focused on this. We're going to have to, you know, what I've been saying is either true or it's not. And if what I've been saying is true, then what most of us are being taught and have been taught is wrong.
That's right. That's right.
And there's going to have to be a change.
That's right.
And if this is true, then you're going to have to put some effort into renewing yourself and start drawing nigh. And when you feel unworthy, you know, most people, it doesn't matter whether it's truth or not. It's just how passionately you feel. Feelings are more important to most people than truth. I've actually had people, I heard a minister one time say that they were dealing with a girl who hated her family and was bitter at her family and said all of her problems went back to her family. And this minister says, now I know the family. And they were a good family. They weren't perfect, but it wasn't the parents' fault. The child took an offense when none was intended. And so they were living a lie and a deception. But then they went on to say, but it really didn't matter whether it was true or not because it was true to them. And so they went ahead and taught this girl how to forgive her parents. And how to operate in love and forgiveness and let the Lord heal them of the hurts that they had. And when I heard that, I got the tape. It was a cassette tape. And I pulled it out and threw it out the window. I got so mad. It wasn't true, but they felt like it was true. So you had to deal with it as if it was true. Man, I just think that's terrible. That's terrible. You're reinforcing wrong attitudes, you're reinforcing lies. Nobody's ever going to get set free by believing a lie. You got to tell people the truth. It's the truth that sets people free.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the book of Hebrews. This teaching series was recorded at our 2008 Boston Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for CD series R1061C or DVD series R3206D when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The third CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RK-155 titled, Please God, Do Something, when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. Our telephone number is 719-635-1111, and our web address is www.awmi.net.
I'd like to thank those of you who are partners with this ministry. You know, it's your giving that has enabled us to reach 2.2 billion people on this earth. But there are more that we can reach. There's so much more that we can do. We want multiple broadcasts. We want to be able to just saturate the airwaves so that people can't avoid this truth. And it just takes a lot of money. We are about halfway there to our goal of just making this, putting it in the face of people so that they have to confront these truths. I'd like to ask you to pray about becoming a monthly partner with us. That's how God supplies our needs, is through our partners. And if you would call, we would love to share with you and have you become a monthly partner with us.